When Los Angeles voters go to the polls next week, they will decide whether to allow Hollywood to break away and become an independent city. If this happens, the new city will take with it America's most recognizable billboard, the Hollywood sign. And this week's Present at the Creation, NPR's Renee Montagne recalls the start of this cultural icon.
In the beginning, it was not about the movies, but rather real estate. The famous sign was originally cooked up as an elaborate ad for a housing development by the name of Hollywoodland. That was nearly 80 years ago, and the Hollywoodland Realty Company is still there, down the hill from the sign, in a small building that looks like a gingerbread cottage with lacy trim in robin's egg blue. At a front desk sits the glamorously monikered LaMonta Pearson. She's been selling real estate here for 40 years.
And this is the very building that was built originally to sell the lots. And it was publicized by those big 50-foot letters that you see that say Hollywood. Originally they said Hollywoodland.
That was 1923, at the height of a land boom in Southern California. Even the unpromising scrubland stretching up the Hollywood Hills suddenly looked good. Faded black and white photos from the time show half-built houses beneath a half-built sign with spiffily dressed real estate agents lined up to peddle the dream.
Here they are with their cloche hats and probably carrying gloves, suits. Look at this barbershop quartet hairdo over here.
It gets very slicked down.
Hollywoodland, the sylvan beauties of the hills, 5 minutes from Hollywood's Great White Way.
Ah, location, location. The sign may have been created as a gimmick to sell real estate, but from the beginning, it was intimately associated with the movies and the media. Hollywood honcho Max Sennett of Keystone Pops fame headed up the investment company that built the houses, and the investor who paid for the sign was none other than Harry Chandler, powerful publisher of the Los Angeles Times.
Harry Chandler and his Los Angeles Times in the era were notorious for getting involved in real estate schemes where he and his family could make a lot of money, as in developing the San Fernando Valley.
David Wallace, whose new book is an anecdotal history of the era called Hollywoodland, says it's no secret that when water was first brought to the dusty San Fernando Valley, it was Harry Chandler and his investors who had just bought up most of the land. The movie Chinatown is a fictionalized version.
But it was actually for real. I mean, they just grabbed desert land because they knew the minute that water came through, it would become, you know, a garden.
Which may explain why it was worth going to so much trouble to put up the Hollywood sign. And it was a lot of trouble. Huge metal panels for the letters and the pipes, wires, crossbeams, and telephone poles used to prop them up all had to be dragged up a steep hillside on a winding dirt track. 4,000 light bulbs were installed to light up the letters, so many that there lived in a nearby cabin a maintenance man whose full-time job was changing them. That, of course, ensured that the huge sign would attract plenty of attention.
And that sort of became a source of pride for everybody in the neighborhood, and even airplane pilots, early days of aviation, they flew lower, used it as a navigational beacon.
And though it still read Hollywoodland, by the early 1930s, the sign had come to embody the dream of Hollywood itself. As we gaze up at the big white H from a nearby vantage point, David Wallace tells the tale that completed that transformation from a billboard to a powerful symbol.
There was a young actress named Peg Entwistle who came out here in the late 20s to make a career, and she, like so many dreamers, didn't really get anywhere. She decided that she'd failed, even though she'd made a couple of films, one, a murder mystery with Myrna Loy in 1932. Nevertheless, she was very dejected, and one day she came up to the Hollywood sign, found a maintenance ladder by the H, climbed up to the top, and presumably took one last look over the city that she had failed to conquer, and jumped. Unfortunately, what she didn't know is that the Beverly Hills Community Players, which was a local theater group, had written her a letter offering a role in the next play. Ironically, it was a play about a suicide.
Hooray for Hollywood! that screwy ballyhooey Hollywood.
By the 1940s, the Hollywood Land real estate development had gone bust, a victim of the Great Depression. And the lights had all gone out on the sign, quite literally, once the full-time light bulb changer was let go.
In 1949, after years of non-maintenance, the entire H blew down. And it was at that time that the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce stepped in, offered to remove the last four letters of the sign and repair the rest. What remained, of course, has become the Hollywood sign.
Once again, the sign was hot for a time. But as the 50s turned into the 60s and Hollywood itself began to decay, so too did the sign. The Hollywood Kiwanis Club raised money to fix it up, but by the late 1970s, the Chamber of Commerce used the last of the funds to repair the D, only to watch hopelessly as the O tumbled down the hill. Finally, an engineering report recommended that the sign be torn down, and it might have been were it not for a sudden show of support. Playboy's Hugh Hefner, cowboy star Gene Autry, and rock star Alice Cooper, who knew, all turned out to be lovers of the Hollywood sign. Hef declared the sign Hollywood's Eiffel Tower, and Hefner raised the money to repair his favorite letter, the Y. Other stars adopted other letters, and just in the nick of time, the sign was saved. A perfect Hollywood ending. I'm Renee Montagne, NPR News, Hollywood.
Pictures of the original Hollywood Land are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.